Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, we are in studio and we are set to go. It's a beautiful day here where I'm at. It's a nice sunny, crisp day, a little chilly, but nice, and it's a beautiful day. Last night, different story. Major showers, rain, thunderstorm. The whole place was soaking wet. Beginning early afternoon yesterday to early this morning, it was just the floodgates were open. But thank God, the skies are beautiful and not a cloud, not a rain shower in forecast, and just a beautiful, beautiful day. Well, I hope everyone's doing well. As for me, doing a lot better. I was down last week with COVID. Yes, indeed. And I was down with COVID and wasn't feeling it, wasn't feeling like getting out of bed. But thank God I'm doing better. And here I am, ready to push buttons. And without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother? Good to see you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling stronger. You know, like I said, last week was just horrible. And but I guess, you know, everyone at some point in time has the brakes put on them, because I'm going 100 miles per hour all the time. And I don't like being down, but, hey, what can you do? When you're sick, you're just sick. That's it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. And last week when we did the show, Tuesday I went out to do church visits, and on Tuesday it rained, and I got caught twice in the rain because I left somebody's house and I didn't have an umbrella. Now, of course, it wasn't a long walk, but I got soaked twice, and then I had to get into the car and put the air conditioning on twice.
Mm.
And that's why last Wednesday when I was with you, I was doing a lot of coughing, because I thought, you know, it was due to being caught in the rain the day before. But then that day I went, right after we did the show, I just went down and I just could not get up the next day. And everybody in the house had the same thing. So the only one that was up and around making a mess of things was the dog. But nobody paid him any mind. And that was that. So, but it's good to be back, and I'm ready to do the show and set this up for us.
Okay. Well, as you know, we've been looking at Church Thieves, you know, the series Thieves in the Temple, and we started with one of the biggest thieves out there, Creflo Dollar, because supposedly he repented of his tithing teaching, and we listened to his sermons and everything, and we've come to the conclusion that he really hasn't repented of anything. He's just repackaging it and putting it back out there as something else, but what's inside of the package is what matters, and it's still the same old thing. And of course, we listened to some responses from his contemporary preachers, and they were not happy that he's saying tithing is not biblical. So they had their say about it. The the church mafia was not pleased that he did what he did. So now that we've looked at Creflo, I wanted to introduce another guy, the next thief, and his name is Michael Todd. He's a young guy. I don't know if you've heard his name or anything, but he's pretty popular out there right now, and he pastors a church called Transformation Church out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I wanted to take a look at him because I think he's pretty interesting. Plus, I like to try to highlight some of the young ones coming up put out a warning on them if need be. So that's who we're going to look at next. Any comments that you have about you've heard of him? Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of Michael Todd, and I guess he picked up where, Bishop Carlton Pearson, you know, Carlton Pearson used to pastor in Tulsa.
Absolutely.
So he filled in the void of Carlton Pearson, and but like you said, they're all scam artists. You know, it's all about the Benjamins, and it's never about the people. It's all about the hustle and, you know, what they can, you know, these guys, first of all, they love the money and they love the popularity.
Michael certainly does. I mean, he loves the limelight.
Right. So, that's it, you know, and they, when you have the older guys who are fading out, so the devil has to raise up some new ones, right? T.D. Jakes will soon fade out, and you got Michael Furtick taking his place. You have this clown taking his place. you know, Joan
Osteen. You've got Rich Wilkerson Jr. Judah Smith, a lot of those younger guys that are coming up.
Right. So, you know, the old guys are fading out. Of course, you know, they're still going to, they're like the deans or the, you know, the dukes of the church where they still have power and you got to go kiss their ring to get their blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael Furtick loves to sit on the lap of T.D. Jakes and all that buffoonery, you know, all that silly stuff that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a guy like Todd White, who just can't get enough of Kenneth Copeland, you know.
That guy's on drugs.
I mean, those guys are all weirdos, you know. Look at their hairdos, look at their, you know, they're just weirdos, and it's all about them. And, you know, so what are you going to do? It's, you know, and that's why on our side we have to put out an up-and-coming generation to match these clowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. You got to match apostate with reformer, you know? And,
right.
Because these guys are multiplying, and these guys are very savvy and
very charismatic.
You know, very charismatic, and they have large followings. And look, you know, it's easy to be a cult leader. It's very easy. Because you have people that will just follow you for no reason. It's easy.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
They just love your personality. Or, you know,
yeah.
Some of these guys are very charismatic. There's something about them that just draws people in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is what it is. You got that... John Gray, who's kind of, you know, has shot himself in the foot like 20 times.
Again, yeah.
Yeah,
he was caught again with his hands in the cookie jar.
Yep. And so, you know, guys like that, you know, even though they shot themselves in the foot 20 times, they still have a following, right?
Yep.
I mean, they Brian have no
Karn.
Short. Right, sure. They have no short. Brian Karn was on the circuit. He had a private plane. He got caught plagiarizing a witch, and then that messed him up. Everybody canceled on him. So what did Brian Karn do? He started two churches.
Yep, he sure did.
Two. Two churches. Because, you see, you need two churches to keep having that plane. And, you know,
keep that lifestyle going.
Got to keep it up. So these guys, you know, they're very creative, and they got their social media post, and, you know, they're gonna do what they do. And it is what it is, you know.
Right. Yep. And the thing that's heartbreaking is about, and even thinking about Creflo, is that none of these guys are doing like you've done, which is to advise people to take the money that they would give to the church and use it to buy supplies and provisions, because things are coming down the pipe real soon, sooner than we'd like to admit probably. And you want to do as much as you can for yourself and your family to hold out for as long as you can with these things that are happening. But these folks are giving up all their money to the Creflos of the world. And what's going to happen to them when things, the bottom falls out of things? Because Creflo's already told them, don't call me with your emergency problems. He doesn't care. He'll take all your money and not be there for you when things get bad. I mean, I don't even know if Creflo will even open his church to feed people. You know,
no, he won't.
Just, that's just how narcissistic he seems.
That's it. Listen, I got into big time trouble. I was asked to teach for an organization. And I started out with the ant. I went to Proverbs, and I started to teach on the ant, and And I started to tell people, before you give anything to the organization that has me on right now, you take $30 a week. And I did a little plan for them. With $30 this week, you buy your breakfast stuff. $30 this week, you buy your lunch stuff. $30 next week, you buy your dinner stuff. $30 the week later, you buy your powdered drinks. Start storing stuff. I got into so much trouble. What's he doing?
Yeah, I bet you did.
Right? What's he doing? And I kept telling the people, keep putting your stuff away, putting your stuff, because I could see this coming.
Do what you can, and it's going to get worse.
And
but the people that go to these type of churches are not going to be prepared, and I don't think the majority of these pastors are going to help them. I don't.
And listen, people like these pastors, they spend it as it comes in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these pastors will themselves crash and burn because they think the gravy train is never going to end. See?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to – now, there's a few of them that are – there's a few of them that are pretty savvy. But the majority of them, you take a guy like John Gray who buys a $250,000 car for his wife. Now, up here where I'm at, $250,000 will buy you 200 acres of land where you can raise chickens, hogs, right, ducks. So you have a means of eating.
Right.
So what are you going to do, eat the carburetor of the car? Is that what you – are you going to eat the tires?
No.
No.
You know, you got, and plus you'll be in a position to maybe sock some stuff away if people in your community need some help. I mean, you provide for your families and stuff, but, you know, maybe the church can be a bit of a backup plan, but these folks will have nothing, not even
nothing.
The church to help them.
Nothing. Nothing.
And that's what's really disheartening when I look at how these guys are just continually telling people to give them their money.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what's crazy? You go to the internet and you'll find all kinds of people on the internet, regular people. They're not pastors. They're not prophets. They're not apostles.
Mm-hmm.
You got regular people on the internet telling other people, hey, here's a little plan for you to save canned goods. Here's a little plan.
Get ready.
For you to,
mm-hmm.
Right. And they're helping their fellow Americans, whereas these pastors, they're ripping them off. They don't care. But that's the way it was in Ezekiel's day. That's the way it was in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah 23 tells us that. Ezekiel 34 tells us that. Nothing's changed because these people, it's about them. See, it's about them. So,
yes.
And the people, you know, you take a guy like Alf Lucal, right? He's on the other side of the world. I mean, how many luxury cars does this guy have?
Several
luxury cars. I mean, he's got the Range Rover. I mean, he's got all kinds. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, these are $100,000 plus, easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his
in a place where they can barely keep the lights on.
Exactly.
You know, South Africa is having its problems now, but he's living large.
Absolutely. In South Africa, I heard in Johannesburg, if you get in a car and you get on the highway, they got bandits now. They got in Johannesburg. If I was a tourist and I was in Johannesburg driving, and forget it, they would have three or four cars block me off, and right there give me the stick up.
Oh wow!
And
they're like highwaymen.
Exactly, and they're doing that now here in the United States. How many people are they not carjacking here in the United States? How many
too
people
many
are they
to
not
count.
there you go. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And I feel sorry for these immigrants who are coming over, because when, you know, when the mess happens, these poor people are just, you know, they don't know the language, they don't know the country, they don't know, and a lot of them are just going to get abused. People are going to beat them up and say, you're the cause of this, and it's just going to get ugly. It's just going to going to get real ugly here. But these pastors don't care, and now that the churches are back open, you know, has anybody repented? Has anybody called for a month of prayer and fasting? Nope. Has any ministry?
No.
Has any ministry said, hey, let's join? No, they're all doing their conferences. They're all doing what they're doing, ripping the people off. Mm-hmm. And I saw a video where Rod Parsley was giving, well, not giving, but if you gave him $1,000, he would give you an old pew of his church where Shambach used to preach.
Ooh, woo.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe that
yeah.
maybe that pew can make some firewood one day, but what
Listen,
good is it?
$1,000, $1,000 for a pew end.
You know how many groceries and how much water you can buy for $1,000?
Forget it. So this guy is wicked. They're all wicked, and you know, they all have their exit strategies, but some of the younger ones are pretty stupid. And they think that the gravy train ain't going to end, but it's going to end.
Mm.
And it's going to get
yeah.
ugly.
And
the amazing,
that right soon.
Yeah, you know, down in New York City in Brooklyn, when COVID first hit, I kid you not, I was getting a phone call every other day. This bishop was dying, and this other bishop was dying. COVID took out so many bishops in the church. Kid you not. It was the wrath of God, I'm telling you. People don't realize.
Yeah, it could be. He definitely
yeah.
uses pestilence
Absolutely.
And diseases from time to time.
Absolutely. That's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. That whole,
mm-hmm.
he says, if I don't send the rain, or if I send the locust, or if I send pestilence. Those are the three.
Yeah.
No rain, or I send the locusts, or I send pestilence. And so, you know, a lot of those bishops that were high and mighty, gone. Gone. And the thing was that when they died, they couldn't do a pompous funeral because they weren't allowing
mm-hmm.
them.
Right.
So they got nothing. They got nothing. So
wow.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Gone. Gone. So all right, I got the Michael Todd audio up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the next video, a lot of these are gonna be relatively short clips, but it's, you know, to introduce this man. And the first audio here is going to be an interview that he did with the 700 Club when he had a book coming out called Crazy Faith. So this
mm-hmm.
is what this video is gonna be about.
Okay, let's
so
see.
Whenever you're ready.
Here it is.
Go back 100 years and tell someone that one day people would be able to take a cross-country trip in about 4 hours, or that they could tour the Louvre from their living room. Well, you might be told you're speaking nonsense. But as Pastor Michael Todd explains, these ideas are only crazy until they happen.
What would make you wake up, go to your daughter's room, open up your laptop, write down impossible things, get in a borrowed 15-passenger van, drive over to a $54 million arena, take this picture, and tell everybody you will one day own it? Crazy face. What would make you stop waiting on the crowd to agree with what you know but they cannot see? Stop playing it safe on the boat. It's time for you to do the impossible and walk on the sea. It might sound crazy, but baby, your purpose can't afford for you to be lazy. It's only crazy until it happens.
In his book, Crazy Faith, best-selling author Michael Todd encourages you to step out in faith and trust God for the impossible in your life.
Well, Michael Todd is here with us now via Skype, and Michael, it's great to have you with us.
It's so good to be with you today, Terry. I'm grateful for this opportunity and grateful for what's going to happen in our conversation.
Well, your book called Crazy Faith, we just heard how it led to your church moving into a multi-million dollar facility. What's the story behind that?
It's a crazy story. It started, me and my wife, Natalie, became the lead pastor of Transformation Church February 1st, 2015. Had no idea what we were doing, but took over a church that had been going for 16 years. And all I was doing every morning was praying, like, Lord, help me. Help me not mess up. Help me not fail. Show me what to do. And 37 days after I became the lead pastor, I had this vision from God at 7:29 a.m. in my daughter Bella's room. And I had the crazy faith to write it down. And the first thing that I said is that the Spirit Bank Event Center would be Transformation Church. And when I wrote that down, it was absolutely crazy. Nobody cheered. Nobody shouted. I was scared to share it with a lot of people, but I knew that I had this vision from God. When I wrote it down, we had less than 300 people in our church, a new transition. Nobody was really coming. But I just had this idea that this thing that seemed so impossible, this building they built for $54 million will one day house the move of God. And 5 years later, I held the keys to that building, and we paid that building off in 6 months. And that is where I'm at right now, having this interview with you, to the glory of God.
You were having crazy faith dreams back when you were in middle school. Tell us about that.
Well, I've always just seen what could happen. And I tell everybody that one of the greatest tools that God's given humanity is imagination. We were created from the thoughts of God. He said in Genesis, it says in his image, in that he created us. And a lot of times we use our imagination as child play, and then we start adulting, and then we lose that. But I believe that it's one of the tools of faith that God wants us to imagine ourselves in a better situation, imagine ourselves different than we are right now. And with God's help and aligning with his word, amazing things can happen. So even back when I was in middle school, I would do what I called exercises of faith by seeing things that seemed completely impossible, but really envisioning them, writing them down, drawing pictures of them. I did a drum set one time that was really, really expensive. It was like a $6,000 drum set when I was 15, 16 years old, and I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything to be able to make it happen. What I did have was a pencil and a piece of paper, and I began to draw in detail this drum set in faith. Like, faith without works is dead. So many times people think that's monetary or something, but there's something you can do right now, and one of the biggest things is you can hope for it, and that's why the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen right now. And that's why I always tell people, you got to see it before you see it. Before you see it in your hands, you got to see it with vision. And as I begin to do that, I've just seen this pattern over and over. When things align with the word of God, they just start to come to pass in my life, and I believe in crazy faith.
I love what you write about, right?
All right, so let's stop him right there. And what comments do you have?
Well, it's the usual word, faith, prosperity gospel that he's preaching there. It seems that with them, it's always about material things and never spiritual. It's like you're always believing God for things, but nothing more. But that's just not what the Bible speaks to as far as what we're supposed to put our attention on. We're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. And you can't take 50-something million-dollar building to the cross. You got to lay that stuff down.
Right. And think about what $54 million would have done with the, for evangelism.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So
right.
He's trying to acquire property. The Lord's trying to acquire souls.
Right.
That was the early church focused on souls. They didn't. The early church had no properties. The apostles
mm-hmm.
bought nothing. The apostles met from house to house. The whole focus was, and in fact, even the gospel message, they had no price on it. Right.
Right.
So the real currency was faith in God. The currency
right.
because when he says. We had this faith for $54 million. Well, no, your currency wasn't faith because the owner of the property wasn't going to take your faith. What the owner
wanted
was
money.
Exactly. You see? So this is all hogwash. That's all this is.
And it's almost like he's teaching visualization and what the New Agers these days call it manifesting, where you write it down, you believe it, and eventually it comes to pass. So that's another thing that I see in what he's saying.
Right,
visualization
right.
And your words becoming your reality and all and the things that they've always taught in the word of faith, prosperity, gospel.
Sure, and I can bet my life on it. That was not the Lord giving him this vision.
No,
that was
mm-mm.
that was not the Lord. That was Satan, plain and simple. It's the same Lord that Kenneth Copeland has when he puts Jesus Christ as Lord. It ain't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's
That's
not.
Right.
So, and think about it. He's drawing a $6,000 drum set. I mean, this guy has very uppity taste, right?
He does.
I mean,
does.
Everything he visualizes is. So it just tells you
expensive.
That it, with him, yeah, it's going to be about the money. That's
yeah.
all it's going to be about, ever. In that church, it's going to be about the money. And you cannot maintain, mm-hmm. listen, you cannot maintain a $54 million property if you're not squeezing the people every week.
Right.
Properties
even
are
if
expensive.
The even if the building is paid off. And we're gonna see see that building a news report on it here coming up, but it's a huge facility.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you think about this. Think about the Mall of the Americas or any huge structure.
Mm-hmm.
How do they maintain those properties? Well, they have different stores in those malls.
They pay rent.
Right? They have to pay rent. And then those rents maintain the property,
mm-hmm.
maintain the security, maintain the bathrooms, maintain. So
the cleaning crew.
Right. So he's got this huge boondoggle of a building. Wait till he hits one bad recession. Wait, and you'll see what's going to happen. Wait till there's one 2008 repeat in the economy, because the
right.
you know the government and the Federal Reserve, they bail out their buddies. They don't bail it. You know, this PPD thing that the church got, you ain't getting that again ever.
No, they're not.
Don't
and
think you're getting that again.
Probably gonna go after some of these people that took those PPP loans.
Exactly, exactly. So, no, this is stupid. That is a stupid move. Real stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Writing it down, because that seems to be a real time where you lock into what you're going to stand by. Talk about that.
Yeah. I really believe that it's not vision until it's written down. See, a lot of people live by sight. Sight is what you see with your eyes open. Sight is how much money you have in the bank. Sight is your education. Sight is the neighborhood you live in. That's what your eyes open. But if you would just close your eyes, you could get a vision. You could see things that are not here now. And that's why I believe that when you can see them, it really becomes vision when you write it down. That's what Habakkuk tells us, to write the vision and make it plain so it.
No, God told Habakkuk to write the vision.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not, I'm going to sit down because here's the thing. Let me tell you something. Right now, I can close my eyes and see lasagna for dinner. And I can write it down. I can write it down. I see the vision. And I recorded it. I
smelled it so clear.
Right, right. At 4 o'clock, when I'm done with you and I walk downstairs, we may be having hot dogs. Okay? So, this is nonsense. This is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just.
Yes, it is.
This is just pure nonsense. Because this doesn't work for anyone in the real world, AJ. This doesn't work for the guy who's, for the mechanic, for the guy running a mechanic shop, just, for the guy running a cleaning operation. This doesn't
if
work
you're
for the
not
guy.
The one on the top of the pyramid, it's not going to work like this.
Right. If you're not pushing those lawnmowers, if you have a what they call those kind of businesses, the one that does the lawnmower work. If you're into landscaping or roofing, or if you're not out there doing it, you can't sit at home and visualize it.
You gotta put in the work.
Gotta put in the work. You gotta put in the work. That's how it happens. You can't sit back and write it down and it's going to pop all of a sudden. No, stupid talk.
But I guess you can do that if you know you've got a bunch of people that's bought into it and they will finance it. It's not really you doing anything, but manipulating the people to help you with their cash.
Right, right. And I'm sure he's making a lot of money. His wife's making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And wait till the thing starts to fall apart. Then we're going to see crazy faith in reverse. Because, listen, I've known a lot of millionaires, especially when I lived in Florida. I knew a lot of millionaires. These guys... I remember one guy, his truck was so beat up, and as long as it worked, all he did was, hey, come with me, I'm going to put an oil change, and a raggedy old truck.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have walked into any dealership and got himself a new truck. His truck had something like 500,000 miles.
Right.
But they don't. They're not like that. They don't blow money like that. They don't blow money.
Yeah, real wealthy. Many real wealthy people, they live pretty low key lives.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. These guys. Look at the way this guy's dressed in this video. Every other shot is a designer shirt, designer suit, designer shoes.
Yep, exactly.
That stuff ain't, he's not getting that stuff off a Walmart rack.
He sure isn't.
It's expensive. All right.
It may not look like much, but it costs.
No, it costs money.
We can be read on the run. It's pointing to the vision that is to come. See, there are so many things that are just thoughts, but I'm telling you, a key to your faith coming into your future is to write the vision down and make it plain. And so, go ahead.
Well, I want to ask you, how do you know the difference between what's just a heart desire of your own, and God actually giving you a sort of premonition vision of what his kingdom purpose for you is.
So two things that I'll tell you. God's vision is already in the Word. So when you begin to read the Word of God, you'll start to see glimpses of yourself living out that Word in your everyday world. You want to live the Word in your world. And the second thing that I tell people all the time is bring your imagination into a place of intercession. See, when you pray about the imaginations and the things you see in the vision, that's where God purifies it. And I can't tell you how many times that when I bring my thoughts, my desires, my wants into a time of just talking to God, a time of prayer, what it does is intercession changes the focus, it changes the future, and it changes everything about what you can feel. And that's where I tell people, if you want whatever is coming to your head to be purified, go to intercession, go to prayer, and God will change the feeling, the focus, and the future.
This is all baloney.
gobbledygook. It's like, what is he talking about?
Right. This is all nonsense, because he's trying to get things on his own, and he's just going to God in prayer to clean up the vision, not
right.
for the provision. You see,
he's not interested in God's will. He just wants God to bless whatever it is he wants.
That's it. He wants to listen. I can go down and read about David versus Goliath, and I can daydream that I'm David and here I am and I got the slingshot in my, but you know what? That's not real life.
Right.
That, you know, and here's the one thing about the Bible, which this clown doesn't understand. When we read the Bible, you never find that Isaac's journey was Abraham's journey or David's journey was Noah's journey. Every person in the Bible had a different journey. There are no repeats there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Isaiah did not live Elijah's life. No
mm-hmm.
one does that. You do not live
even,
the life of
even
Simon
Elisha
Peter.
Was different. His journey was different than Elijah.
Correct. So for me to imagine and then want that to be repeated is just baloney. It's just nonsense. Because that removes my personal destiny in Christ, your personal destiny in Christ, and we're all different. This is why you only find that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. You don't find anyone else, right? And again, none of these stories repeat themselves. None. Not one. Moses and Joshua are completely different. Moses and Aaron different. Moses and Miriam, his sister, different. Nobody lives out someone else's life. I have to go now into the Bible and start imagining? This is nonsense.
The constant in the story is the Lord himself.
That's it. And then this guy, he's always smiling.
He's like that. He's very affable.
Yep. All right.
So most of us don't start with being willing to write down a vision for a multi-million-dollar facility. How do you start?
I tell everybody, it doesn't start with crazy faith. It starts with baby faith. Like, the biggest miracles in my life have happened when I started with what I had. I tell our church here,
See, right there, crazy faith, baby faith, none of that is biblical. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It doesn't say with mm-hmm. unless you have baby faith or unless you have crazy, no, without faith,
right?
It is impossible. There's no gradations of faith. Either you have it or you don't have it, plain and simple. Baby faith, crazy faith, nonsense.
Okay. Transformation Church in Tulsa all the time. All you have is all you need. God does not require a tree. He requires seed. Like, what he wants you to do is take whatever he's placed in your hand right now and plant that, work that, give that, serve that. And as you do that, it continues to grow. I can remember, many people don't know this, but I started out at the church I lead right now. I started out as the sound man. I was the guy cleaning the mics and turning up the faders, and shout out to all the sound men, sound men and women out there in the world. I started out there with my baby face saying, God, I'll just serve right here. I never wanted to be the pastor. I never saw myself doing anything. But slowly, as you begin to sow with what you have, somebody needs to just go start a bank account for the business that you don't even have registered yet. Somebody needs to go give generously to some.
First of all, you cannot open up a bank account for a business that's not registered. It is stupid.
Nope.
You need to have incorporation papers. The bank is not going to illegally open up a bank account for a business you don't have registered. That's illegal.
Right. Business accounts are different than personal accounts.
Yeah. I mean, what's this guy talking about?
He's going to have somebody in trouble.
$5, a Starbucks drink. You need to go give that right now, because one day you desire to be blessing nations. But you can start crazy faith right now with baby faith.
Well, you can learn more, friends, in Michael Todd's new book. It's called Crazy Faith. It's only crazy until it happens. It is available nationwide. Michael, thank you for being with us today. Great to visit with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
God bless you. Like your dad. Your dad had crazy faith.
Yeah. A lot of memories came up with that. And I tell you, what he said just really gripped me. God's not asking for a tree. He's asking for the seed.
Yep.
You know, he likes to grow big oak trees and a little tiny acorns.
Somebody's
got to believe in that acorn enough to plant it.
Yep, absolutely. Good word, Michael.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fantastic word. So, yay.
Listen, it's not a word. Just look at nature. I mean, these people are so stupid. And by the way, his father did not have crazy faith. His father's father was a senator. These people had money. What is he talking? What? These people lie. They just lie. It's amazing. All right, I don't hear Sister AJ, so I think she.
Oh, I'm here. I was muted.
Yeah.
Sorry about
yeah.
that.
No problem. So, you know, the guy from the 700 Club. It reminds me of your dad. No, these people are multimillionaires.
Yeah, it certainly helps when you start out with money.
Sure, absolutely. And then all those years fleecing people, of course.
That definitely helped. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
this little seed, and of course we know the parable of the sower is not what that's about anyway.
Exactly. They have crazy faith with other people's money, because that's the only way they can have crazy faith, with other people's money.
That's
right. It's like Bob Parsley. This end of this pew for $1,000, and we have 150 of them. I'm telling you. All right, let's go to the next audio.
So the next audio, you mentioned this earlier with Carlton Pearson. So I wanted to look a little bit as his spiritual lineage, as they say, and he is directly connected to Carlton Pearson, by the way, and it's through the guy we're going to take a look at in the next couple of audios, and his name is Gary McIntosh, and if you remember, Gary and Carlton go all the way back to their college days at ORU. They met when Carlton got there, and they were roommates and buddies all that time through the Azusa years, through the church, and Gary left, with, of course, when Carlton came out with his beliefs and stuff like that. So there's a direct connection. So if Gary McIntyre, because that's whose church that Michael talked about, how he became the pastor.
Right.
Gary McIntyre actually turned his church over to Michael and his wife and made them the pastor. He had groomed him for several years. And then in 2015, that's when he officially turned the church over. But Gary, of course, remains as the oversight bishop or whatever. So you know he's getting money. So I wanted to show a couple of the first clip we're going to listen to is Gary McIntyre in the 90s during the Azusa days. It's just a couple of quick, it's a quick one here just to give a refresher on who he is. Because if Gary McIntyre, if you could say, is Michael's spiritual father, then that would make Carlton Pearson like his uncle, because he and Gary were like brothers back in the day.
Okay, here it is.
What I would like to say, it has been a privilege for me to have been able to serve with Bishop Carlton Pearson for the last 27 years. We are good friends. We were roommates in college. We traveled in cars and vans throughout the country and around the world. And I have been blessed to be able to be with him for the last 27 years. And as Brenda said, just to work sometimes behind the scenes to put feet on some of his dreams and plans. And I just wanted to say it's a privilege and an honor for me to have worked with such a great man. Amen. And you're a privileged people just to be sitting under his ministry. Amen. I know he's not here this morning, but you ought to give God praise for the man of God.
All right.
So that's just a little flashback of Mr. McIntyre at Azusa. But but if we, and I remember when we did some shows on Carlton, he talked about how he's still friends with a lot of these guys, even though it's more undercover. Carlton phrased it like, oh, they come to me like Nicodemus came to Jesus by the cut by night. You know, so they share his beliefs, but they just can't say anything about it. Now, this next audio we're going to listen to is more recent from Gary McIntyre. And what it is he gave Carlton, this is a video Carlton put together of all his friends wishing him a happy 60th birthday. And so Gary is on this audio, and I found what he said about Carlton interesting. And I wonder if he really believes this or if he's just saying it. But so what I need, I'll tell you the timestamp on it with audio number three. It, you can move it ahead to 3 minutes and 16 seconds.
Okay.
And then stop it at 5 minutes and 14 seconds. That's Gary's little piece in this.
Okay.
Bishop, boy, they told me it is 6-0 just in a few days. We're so excited for you. I'm really glad to have company. I've been here, you know, for about a year and a half, so I'm glad to have some company at 6-0. We've been friends for 41 years now, and so I'm really excited. One thing about friendship with you is that when you're friends with Bishop Carlton Pearson, you're friends for life. And I feel that way, and I'm so grateful for all that you have done for me and for all those I've been associated with. I was thinking the other day, Bishop Carlton is a great man. You're not great just because you're a great preacher, a great singer, a great leader. I believe you're a great man because you knew a lot of people who weren't great and helped them become great. That's what makes you a great man. I know you know a lot of great people, but you're a great man for what you've done in helping so many people. I've been in the rooms when you've counseled the young preachers and shared wisdom and insights, and I watched you help them and encourage them and help them become great people. I believe one day when you stand before God,
The greatest thing that he'll say is that you helped my people become great. In my opinion, that's your greatness. You've been doing it for 60 years. I can see you as a little kid in diapers running around helping other little kids. But you have blessed the body of Christ so much, and we appreciate you and love you and want to celebrate with you on this 60th birthday. Have a great day and know that you are loved and that we are all there for you, and we wish you many, many more years of the greatness in which you do just by who you are. You're Carlton Pearson. God bless you, and have a great day today.
We love you, brother.
Okay, so he loves a heretic. Okay.
Right. But the part about it, God being pleased with him, are you kidding me? And I'm not saying that that because Carlton is a heretic and came out with his beliefs, I mean, I'm not going to say he had to drop him as a friend or anything or to stay out of touch with him, but I certainly wouldn't get on a video and say this kind of stuff if I know my friend has turned his back on God. I don't see how he could do that.
No, this is asinine. I mean, first of all, he's leading millions of people astray with his false gospel.
Yes.
So
right.
how he's an antichrist. The man is an antichrist. And if you listen to him today, I mean, he hasn't changed.
No.
What he's saying with Bernard Jordan on platforms is what he's been saying. He's been going to all kinds of churches saying there's no hell and everybody's going to be saved and the gays are saved and all this and that. You're an antichrist. That God
right.
is going to be pleased with them because he makes other people great? Well, great in what? Great in sin? You know, so no. So that lets you know everything you need to know about McIntosh here or whatever.
Right,
his name
and is. Gary McIntosh, and he has mentored Michael Todd. And another way I can see Carlton Pearson in what Michael is doing is because I went on their website and I want to read their vision statement to you. To show you what I mean.
Okay.
And it reads, we exist to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. We are a multi-church, meaning we are multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multiplying, and multi-campus. Now, the part that that triggered a memory is the word that here, represent, not represent, represent, represent.
Right.
And they are two different words, but
sure.
The thing I know, I remember is that Carlton Pearson does that a lot. In fact,
sure.
I heard him use this when he was interviewing with George Bloomer or somebody, and he said that he is here to represent God to people.
Right.
And I'm like, but we don't need to represent God because he's already presented himself through the scriptures, and we're
right.
supposed to be more his representatives. In this dark world, the light and darkness, the city on the hill, and all those things that Jesus said that we needed to be here, but we don't need to represent. But it's like how they like to play on these words, and Carlton does that, and that's how I can see the connection. I mean, even on Gary McIntosh's bio page, he uses the same terminology.
Right.
Represent
well,
the gospel.
Yeah. This is what makes Carlton an antichrist when he uses the word represent, because I'll read Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but having these last days spoken to us in his Son, by whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the express image of his glory, and his person upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. So the Son presented the Father.
Right.
We don't, now, if you're trying to represent God, you are redoing what Christ has already done perfectly.
That's right.
That makes you an antichrist.
Right. They are presenting a different gospel and a different God, a different Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no. We're not buying it. We're not having it. So, yeah.
The next audio is a video that's talking about their, after Michael had been the pastor for about 5 years, this is celebrating 20 years of ministry, and it's got McIntosh and his wife here just talking about the past and the history of the church and so on. And I just wanted to use this to show the transition that was from McIntosh to Todd.
Okay. So we started from the beginning?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, CC, Charles here. Man, we're celebrating 20 years of ministry, 4 years with our pastors Mike and Natalie, and we thought it'd be really cool to sit down with pastors Mike and Natalie and our founding pastors, Bishop Gary and Debbie McIntosh. And just...
Okay, so who's this guy, Charles?
Okay, I'm looking at the webpage here. It just, it's got him here as part of the leader, the executive staff, and I have never heard of this position before. His name is Charles Metcalf, and he is the executive pastor of experience. So,
okay.
I'm not sure what that means. Do you have any? Maybe it's the,
I have no clue.
Setting the decorations, the smoke machine, or the light. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
That's his title.
All right. Here's Charles.
Hey, CC, Charles here. Man, we're celebrating 20 years of ministry, 4 years with our pastors Mike and Natalie. And we thought it'd be really cool to sit down with pastors Mike and Natalie and our founding pastors, Bishop Gary and Debbie McIntosh, and just hear about all God's done in 20 years and really what he stands ready to do and the fact that we are just getting started. Now, some of you are thinking, Transformation Church, I've just heard about Transformation Church. But there's actually a really amazing story of what God's been doing for a long time. So why don't you share just a little bit of that before Transformation Church?
Well, the thing we got to know as a church is that we stand on the shoulders of people who sowed and believed way before any of us were here. In 1999, Bishop Gary McIntosh and Pastor Debbie stepped out in faith, came to North Tulsa to start Greenwood Christian Center. And for 16 years, they pioneered, sowed, built this amazing ministry that they were then felt led to hand over to me and Natalie 4 years ago. And February 1st, 2015, we became the senior leaders of a church in Charles. The thing that I really realized is we weren't starting something new. We were fulfilling something that had already been seen.
Well, it all started because he was traveling in ministry, and I was home with the kids, and so I just thought, I'm going to start a business.
Yeah.
So I got in the car to drive to Texas. My kids were asleep, but purposely went at night so I could pray.
Yeah.
Right as I was getting into Dallas and I could see the skyline, I heard the Lord just so distinctly, I want you to pray for your city. I just took a deep breath and said, Lord, okay. And I called a friend of mine who was a prophet. And so we'd meet every morning and we'd get the Tulsa newspaper and we would just pray the front page of the paper. So we're just praying up a storm.
Yeah.
And then
one
day the Lord said the second thing, and that was about starting a church.
I had just come out of years and years of starting a church and pastoring.
Yeah.
I was traveling on the road and having great success and enjoying it.
Yeah.
She said, I think I have a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
And she told me, and I said, where did he say?
What was that like, the as you guys started to, you know, have that step of faith to obey God? I'm sure so many people were like, what? You're going
yeah,
out? What was that
they,
like?
Not one person was a word of encouragement.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
And then I knew enough about the North Side to know the challenges of it. And then I'm thinking, God, are you sure I'm the one to go to the North Side?
Yeah. Have you
know
this place?
Yeah. I don't think those people are going to want me there.
Yeah.
It started in a house.
And then it
moved to First Street.
Yeah, with a bus inside of a building.
A bus inside of a building.
Couldn't get rid of it.
And then to this location that we're sitting in right now. And what is it like to stand in a transformation church service now, knowing the history of all God has done?
When I walk in, I'm so privileged that I get to see legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people talk about legacy.
Wow.
Some people, if they're fortunate enough, hand the baton over on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an honor for us to watch it happening.
Yeah. Exciting. Well, Transformation Church, man, it's 20 years all God has done. It's so exciting to think that we're just getting started.
If this is our start,
yeah.
If this is the beginning of this new phase, this Transformation Church under our leadership, 5 years from now, I don't know what the heck is going to happen 5 years from now, because I didn't see this. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready to obey. We're ready to do whatever God says to do.
And that's so powerful. Well, I know on behalf of Transformation Church, we are so grateful for both of you guys. So, TC, can we take right now and celebrate 20 years of ministry?
Come on.
4 years for our pastors, Mike and Natalie. Man, it is amazing to see all God has done. And the truth is, we're just getting started.
We're just getting started.
Amen.
TC, we love you.
Transformation Church, can you get up on your feet at all services and help me welcome Pastors Michael and Natalie and Bishop Gary and Pastor Debbie McIntosh.
Transformation Church, let's celebrate all that God has done. Hallelujah.
Hey, we just wanted to say thank you so much. We know that it takes a lot. There's a lot of things that people probably haven't seen, conversations, prayers, and the Bible talks about making monuments to know what God has done. And so just to make a little token of our gratitude, we wanted to give you these framed copies of the magazine just as a moment to remember what God has done and know that there's so much more that God has to do. TC, can we celebrate our pastors?
Well, we just want to take this moment to thank God for what he has truly done. And I just need to make it very clear, we're not standing here if it was not for the faith, the service, the finances, and the vision of Pastor Debbie and Bishop Gary McIntosh. And today, I want you to know that nothing you do started with you. And today, we celebrate our founding pastors. Can we thank God for Bishop Gary? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Bishop Gary, Pastor Debbie, we love you. Bishop, will you just say something to the people real fast?
First of all, good morning. What a great day. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when I look back, we had two moments that we had to really hear the voice of God for this church. The first one was in coming to North Tulsa and starting a church. And my wife was the first one to hear, and she dragged me along. But I obeyed. And God really, really blessed. And the second time was when the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you are not the one to take the church to the next, which was a sobering word. And I had already had my eyes on Pastor Michael. And what a tremendous man of God. And he was so faithful in this house and grew in this house. And what a joy it was to hear God say, he's the one, pass the baton over. And we're here today. Look at what God's doing. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
I didn't know when we stood here 4 years ago today if it was going to work. If Bishop was giving me the keys to a Ferrari that I was going to crash. But to stand here today and see that all God is doing, I just want to let you know this is a testimony that God can use anybody. That he can take a church where they said it would never be done, where a white gentleman would come to the north side of Tulsa, take out off his shoes in the area where the worst race riot in 1921 happened. And he said, reverse the curse. And 16 years later, he would hand it to a wild black young man. And look around. This church looks like heaven. White, black, young, old. Come on, church.
Let's give God praise for what he is doing at Transformation Church. You get all the glory. So today, I want you to join hands with everybody.
No mention of Jesus, no mention of redemption, no mention of anything.
Mm-mm.
This is all crazy
nope.
talk.
Well,
God's
he
not
wrote
here.
The book Crazy Faith.
Yeah. Yep. The
but
Lord's not
faith in who?
Right. Yep. This is when he says this pastor handed me the keys. Wow. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the Lord. Right.
No,
I mean,
it they always like this. The paste, the cut and paste the Lord and Jesus or scripture into certain things, but if we listen, the majority of the talk is about themselves and what they've done or what maybe someone else helped them do or whatever, but not really
mm-hmm.
about the Lord. He's not the focal point of these so-called testimonies.
Mm-mm. It's not. I think there's a minute left on this.
Come on, everybody standing, every service, join hands and let's lift them up. Because we're praying that God will give us another 20 years. That we're sowing seeds right now for people who aren't even here yet. So, Father, I thank you, Father, that in every service and everybody who watches this back, I thank you that our faith is inspired, that we're not just a part of a moment, but we're a part of a movement. And, God, it's the faith of those who came before us, and it's the faith of those who are here now that are going to leave a legacy in the earth for those to come. We declare that the best days for Transformation Church are in front of us. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. If you have faith to believe it, can you celebrate? Oh, come on. Let's give God a shout of praise.
Yeah, the place is dark and dingy, and, of course, none of it is about mm-hmm. Jesus. They're just giving him a token mention.
That's right.
None of it is of the Lord. So, yeah. Yeah, Bishop Gary, whatever, I don't know what kind of bishop he is.
Some of these people just make themselves bishops nowadays,
yeah.
don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we have audio 5 here. And
yes,
shows...
and he mentioned this building that he had crazy faith to believe for, so I wanted you to see a little news report on that building because that's where
okay.
they're at now. They moved from where they were to this building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. 2 minutes long.
This may just be the biggest. I don't know how many people are fitting in this building.
It is becoming one of the most popular churches in the city, packed every Sunday. Transformation Church is now in a bigger building celebrating major milestones today.
But the growing pains aren't over. Channel 8's Angelica Brown shows us the impact the church is also having on the neighborhood.
This is an anniversary for the Church of Jesus Christ.
The energy is infectious at Transformation Church. A congregation that is so connected in the community is bringing in new faces every Sunday.
Have a different experience and to meet new people and enjoy the great atmosphere.
That's why Tyler McLean is here. It's her second time at Transformation.
This church is not based off a feeling. It's based off having determination, motivation, and to love yourself and to become stronger as one, as a unity.
It's that same determination that brought this church to this spot. The church was in need of more space and found it in the old Spirit Bank Event Center in Bixby. Today marks 6 months in the new spot and 5 years with Pastor Michael Todd.
We needed a space, and this has been the answer to a prayer. And see people from our city, but all around the world, be able to come to a space and feel like they're home. This is special.
A church that became so popular, the congregation is overflowing. Even with a 900-space parking garage, it's nearly packed every Sunday, leaving some folks to find other places to park while being mindful of the surrounding businesses.
So it's really just, you know, parking where you can. Today I parked across the street on Memorial. But it's just because we're growing, which is a good thing.
Something that's not going unnoticed by the church.
It's all about progression. We're figuring things out together, and we're working with the businesses locally because we want the best outcome to happen.
An impact that will make a difference. Angelica Brown, Tulsa's Channel 8.
Yeah, again, think about it. You're going to have people that are going to gravitate to Joel Osteen kind of churches where, you know, they allow you to feed on your fantasies,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they encourage you to fantasize. They encourage you to, have crazy ideas about life.
Yeah.
But none of this is based, none of it is based on reality.
Right. And it's, you can also get wrong ideas about the Lord and even what the atonement was all about, because as you mentioned, there's nothing about sin or repentance or any of that stuff.
No.
It's just about what Jesus can do for you. He's like an accessory to your life that can enhance your way of life.
Sure.
Materially.
That's it. And, you know, when the pastor, think about it, when the pastor gets up every week and speaks to you like Joel Osteen or Joseph Prince speaks to you, where nothing is ever going to go wrong, where all you have to do is just speak it into existence or imagine it or have the faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, most people do not live in that world.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, and even when you watch these old, let's say, they just did a movie on Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. And when the cameras
mm-hmm.
were on, oh, they were all smiles and they were singing and giving God praise. And then when the cameras were off, they were the most miserable two people on the face of the earth.
Right, just like the Crouches, they didn't even live in the same place, like thousands of miles away from each other sometimes.
Right. So this is just another fad in the church. It's just that, you know, I can only imagine what the praise and worship is like. I can only imagine what the preaching is like. And
well, we'll do some looking in this sermon, a sermon or two
mm-hmm.
as well, so you'll get to see a little of that.
Right. Okay, so here Mike Todd gives away $500,000 to Zeal Church, so $500,000.
Right, he's into philanthropy, but I wanted to see what you think about this. He loves to give away money and stuff, so this, the next couple of clips are going to be some news reports on that. So whenever
okay.
you're ready.
Here it is.
Heard about this church plant in Colorado Springs, Colorado, called Zeal Church. Like, and I don't know a whole bunch about them, but I saw their pastor, Brandon, I believe, and I was like, so I had somebody get a FaceTime number for me, and I don't know, we might show up in a service right now, but I'm going to go ahead and FaceTime whoever's on this phone. Ooh, Holy Spirit. Whatever you gonna do. Come on, pick up this one you wanna pick up. You wanna pick this one up. Even if you preach and pick it up. Ooh, somebody text somebody. They gonna want this call. Ooh, that's too many rings. Ooh. Call again. All right, I just, you know what I'm saying? It's a live service, so I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Father, in the name of Jesus, let somebody at Zeal Church have the unction. In the name of the Father, the Son. Somebody needs to pray. You got somebody on the phone? Is that somebody from Zeal Church? Is it Zeal Church? You at Zeal Church? Okay, so is where the pastor at? Get the pastor. Get the pastor. Tell him to pick up the phone.
Run and get there. This is live. He's running, y'all. Look at him. He's running. This mother, he said, Pastor! Get the pastor on the phone. I'm gonna try it again right here. I'm trying one more time. Pastor Brandon. Can you hear me? Okay, there's somebody to answer the phone. Okay, there's a phone. Hey, go. Is that Pastor Brandon? That's you. Okay, you're on two phones now. God bless you.
I'm on multiple phones.
All right. Pastor Brandon, how you doing? Transformation Church is Pastor Brandon.
Right on Transformation Church. What's up?
Okay, so I'm calling you in the middle of service. Is this your beautiful wife?
Yeah.
What's your name? She got that next level smile, that Crest, that airport, American Airlines smile. I see that. Okay, so we're in the middle of church, and we have started this thing of crazy faith and giving in crazy faith, and we heard that you guys have just been pioneering and moving in Colorado Springs to really help bring transformation to so many people. Your church has exploded.
Yeah.
You guys are believing God for a building or something like that right now. Can you tell me just a little bit about that?
Yeah, we are looking for permanent location. We are up to 3 services packed out. We're a year and 3 months old, over 1,100 people coming, salvation, healing, but we need a home. So we are saving up to make an offer as soon as the Lord. We've been looking at places, and so we're just believing God, His timing, His provision. So that's a big deal.
You said timing and provision. Okay, cool, cool, cool. I like both of them words. So what I'm trying to figure out is how much you believe in God for.
We are believing God. We are believing God for exactly a down payment. We've been working with our realtors. So we need a down payment of $1 million.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're believing God for over this, you know, next time place, so we can make that down payment and be ready to move in.
So I heard that you guys had a miracle offering or some type of offering to give for people to exercise their crazy faith. Was that today or last week or it's
so
coming
it's
up?
So it's our legacy search, the offering that we have been preparing and people have been giving towards. And so up to this point, we've raised about $65,000. So we're just towards that, but we're going to be giving in an intentional way in January.
In January. Okay, so this is what I want you to tell Zeal Church. On behalf of Transformation Church and Transformation Nation and the people all around the world that are believing in crazy faith with you guys, there's a check for $500,000 on the line. $500,000 on the way to Zeal Church. Me and my wife Natalie know exactly what it feels like to be in your position, to go from one service to 5 services, to try to create a multi-ethnic ministry. We see the same grace that's on our lives, on your ministry. And we declare this is a bamboo season for Zeal Church. We declare that God is about to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. And we just wanted to sow into good ground. Right now, there is a check with no strings attached. This is my first time ever meeting y'all. For $500,000, y'all give God praise. Transformation Church, this must be give God a shout of praise. Oh, is that the best you got? I love you. I'm going to get your number, and I'll talk to y'all later. Somebody take this phone. Somebody take this phone. Because we're not done yet. If your faith ain't stirred yet, if you're waiting for something else to happen right now, shout at me, Flo!
Yeah.
That actually worked. That's awesome. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you for all the people that will be changed in Colorado Springs because of Zeal Church. Thank you, Father, for the marriages that will be restored. Thank you, Father, for the people who will be broken from addiction. Thank you, Father God, for all of the young people who will stop cutting and find community. Thank you, Father God.
None of that comes without any strings attached. None of it.
I was just going to ask, what do you think? Do you think it's really about really no strings, or is he going to want something? Although he's getting a lot of attention and publicity from doing these types of things. So it
Absolutely.
Sounds like what Jesus would say is he has his reward. Because why couldn't he just do it in secret?
Right. Why couldn't he just make a quiet phone call and just do what he had to do? But you see, again, this pushes his message. These guys like to put – this is his brand. Crazy Faith is basically his brand.
Yes.
That's what it is. And so he's going to keep pushing that, and he's going to make – now he's – you know, you think about it. You give that kind of a donation, right? And the next time he writes a book and he sends that pastor a copy, what do you think that pastor is going to do? Why don't you come and speak at our anniversary?
Right. Or he's going to promote
go there.
The book amongst his members as well,
there
so they're going to buy the book.
Exactly. See, none of these guys do anything without reason. None of them. Not one. So I'm pretty sure that Michael Todd has more than enough engagements. And remember, he's giving away $500,000 of other people's money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he's doing.
And it's a tax write-off for the church.
Well, you know, he again, look at all the stuff that Joel Osteen does as he travels. What does he call them? Night for America. What does he call those things?
A Night of Hope.
A Night of Hope.
Those
okay.
Those things he does at Yankee Stadium.
Right, right. And other places. What are they promoting there? All his material.
That's right.
All those Nights of Hope, all those people going there and signing up and showing up and all that, they got gazillion book tables all around that place. I mean, it's just ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. That's all it is.
Right.
It's so they're not. They don't represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They and Satan is just so clever.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so clever at it. And you think 1,100 people in one at one place, 10,000 in another. I mean, that's nothing for Satan. Why? He does that at rock concerts.
Yeah, it's
right?
easy for him to draw a crowd.
Sure, absolutely.
To his apostles or whatever you want to call them.
Exactly. So this is the new flavor on the street. You know, this is the new flavor at Baskin-Robbins. but, you know, people will get tired of this, and then 2 years down the road or maybe a year and a half from now, there'll be another new flavor, you know? I've seen a couple of videos already with this guy, and he's got CF on every shirt. He's branding. He's doing pretty much like, what's his name? Dallas Jenkins, you know? He's branding everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy faith. That's all it is. That's what he's pushing. So, all right, let's see the next.
Okay, the next one is an article, but it's a video embedded in it at the top.
Okay.
And what this is, you know, he mentioned the race riots in Tulsa. So in Juneteenth of 2021, you know, the Juneteenth. The thing that just became a national holiday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
so he, in 2021, he had a service at this big convention center or something, and he gave his brand of reparations to some of the living survivors. It's just a few of them. But this is a news report in the article here, but it's mm-hmm. going to be a commercial at the beginning of it when you click on it.
Okay, it's not opening up. Let me go back here. Okay. Let's see if I can. This is the third time I could try to click on it. All right, here it is. A photo of reparations being given to the massacre survivors at the Transformation Church provided.
Yeah, that's actually the video. It's a little thing, arrow it, that you click on it, and it just plays.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm looking for that. It's just twirling right now.
Okay, it'll probably be a commercial to come up. You mm-hmm. know how these things do.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, let me go back here. See if it'll do it now. Okay, here it is.
All right.
It says loading ad.
Yeah, it'll be something else first, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's a new way to watch TV.
So I guess the racial game is profitable as well, so he's getting
sure
into
it is.
That.
Sure it is.
On the last day of the Juneteenth celebration, a Tulsa church planted a seed of reparations, $1 million worth.
So today, on behalf of Transformation Church, God, and Transformation Nation, each one of you is getting a check for $200,000.
That was live on their Facebook page. Pastor Mike Todd and Transformation Church gave each of the known massacre survivors $200,000. The church held Sunday morning service on Greenwood as part of the Juneteenth Festival. The church, which was founded in North Tulsa, has a history of giving massive gifts based on faith. And today, they gave money to 8 organizations, including the Greenwood Cultural Center, the Terrence Crutcher Foundation, and Oasis Fresh Food Foundation. All of it, Pastor Todd says, is repairing the damage from the race massacre and that it is God's work.
And if God is the God of reparations and restoration, and I'm God's, and I'm one of God's people, then I am responsible for being a part of restoring what has been torn down, okay?
The gifts that were shared today were a surprise, and this was the first time the church has met in person in more than 400 days.
Yeah, these are gimmicks. He's a gimmicky guy.
Yeah, he had definitely has a flair for the dramatic, and
mm-hmm.
And he does all these skits and props and stuff in his sermons, which sometimes that stuff gets him in trouble, which the next audio we're going to show where this was it went terribly wrong for him. He got some backlash for this because what he did was actually pretty disgusting and disrespectful. But so do you
right.
have any comments on that one, on the reparations before we move on? Or?
Well, again, I mean, it's just stupid. first of all, reparations are supposed to come from the person who did the damage to you.
Right.
Right? I mean, and of course, God doesn't pay reparations. The Bible talks about revenge.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I will revenge. In other words, if someone
right.
does me a wrong, in this life, I should not take matters into my own hands. I shouldn't take the law. I have to leave it in God's hands, who is the one who exacts revenge. By the way, when God exacts revenge, he doesn't pay reparations.
No.
right? I mean, there's no. Again, I don't know where he's coming from, where a black man is giving another black man reparation money when it's supposed to be white people giving black people reparation money.
Or so, more specifically, if there are any descendants of the perpetrators of the race riot, then maybe it should come from them.
Right. People who benefited from taking their land or taking their property. So this makes absolutely – but, again, I guess he's representing reparations.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, you can – again, this is just asinine. Because at some point in time, he's going to run out of money.
Yeah, but he thinks it's going to go forever.
Yeah. But it doesn't. And it won't. Okay.
And the next audio is one
changing
of his
something.
Shit gone wrong.
I'm sorry?
Next audio, not – hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was saying audio number 8 is one of his skits gone wrong, and it's a clip of what he did during one of his services, and then after that it'll be his apology.
Okay.
Changing something, and you don't see it clearly yet, but you shit. And this is where most people would not face Jesus anymore. What most people would do is turn away. What I'm telling you is just as he's physically standing here, knowing what's coming, God's saying, can you physically and spiritually and emotionally be able to stand when getting the vision or receiving it might get nasty? I'm going to say it in a point just like that. Receiving vision from God might get nasty. You mean, God, I just bought, in crazy faith, I just bought my dream car. And now you're going to ask me to sell it back and ride in the hoopty again? Yeah, because the vision I'm about to give you, it might get nasty. And do you hear and see the responses of the people? What I'm telling you is how you just reacted. It's how the people in your life will react when God is doing what it takes for the miracle. What are you saying? This man was blind, and what he was trying to do with this man is give him his DNA.
This is just as bad as when that bishop jumped on the backside of those men when he was ordaining them.
You know what? That I thought about that same thing, because I can't think of – this is probably the top three and one of the in the most degrading things you could do to a person. And for our audience who didn't have the visual, I'm just going to say – some people may have heard about this where he – during his sermon had a guy up there with him to do this illustration, and he actually spit into his own hand and a couple of times he get him a good little amount of it.
With phlegm.
Yes. And then he took it and rubbed it on this guy's face. And I think he was coming from the scripture where Jesus put the spit on the ground and then took the mud and put it in the guy's eye. I haven't seen the entire sermon, but I think that's what this was supposed to be symbolizing. And what I want to know is, and I'm more fussing at the man that did this, stood up there for that, because I'm like, what kind of a man lets another man do that to him, or anybody for that matter, but especially another guy, without laying some hands on him? Because I'm like, did he know that Michael was going to do this?
That's when you're part of a cult.
Mm.
And I mean, again, he's talking about crazy faith. And
yeah.
This is just it's degrading that a man would just stand there and let him allow to put his puke and
his germs and his spit. And this is COVID time. This was recent.
Right. No, this is all right, so let's see his apology. Let's see what he says here. Let's see.
Okay.
I want to see if he has all his teeth in his mouth.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope you're having an amazing Monday. I just want to acknowledge what happened yesterday when the spit hit the fan. I watched it back, and it was disgusting. Like, that was gross. I want to validate everybody's feelings, that was a distraction to what I was really trying to do. I was really trying to make the word come alive and for people to see the story. But yesterday it got too live, and I own that. And I just want to make sure people know that we want to help people. We want people to see Jesus. We want people to feel loved. We want people who are desperate to be able to find hope. And I'm passionate about that, so much so that I try to do extreme things to help people get it. And yesterday it crossed the line. So I love you guys. I appreciate everybody that's been praying for us and sending us messages. And to anybody who just saw that 3-minute clip, I really encourage you to go back and watch the whole message. There's some truth and some life in there that could potentially change your whole life. When Jesus spit on that man, he was blind and then he could see. So next time I'll rethink and do something differently. I love everybody. I'm praying for everybody. And Transformation Nation, thank you for riding. We're going to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. All right? Everybody, have an amazing week. Peace.
Yeah, I'm bald and stupid. Bald and brainless.
Right, and that doesn't sound like much of an apology to me. I think he's just responding to the backlash he's getting. But
right.
Any context that there might have been, he messed it up, because even the audience was disgusted by what he did.
Sure.
And plus, Jesus in that passage did not spit on that guy. He spit on the ground and made clay with the mud and then put that in his eye.
And here's the thing, Jesus wasn't bringing up phlegm, and
no.
You know, it was demeaning, disgusting, demoralizing, and and for him to say he was bald before I spit on him, and he's still bald now, so there was no miracle, is just to make light of the fact. Yeah. Is to just make light of the fact that he degraded his brother.
Yeah.
I
don't see how that guy wasn't humiliated. And if he has a wife or children that was watching, I mean, how embarrassing.
Sure. That's just like embarrassing when that bishop jumped on the backside of those men on the ground.
Exactly.
I mean, how could
you
live that?
Same thing.
How could you live that down? I mean, how could you live
that
down? Wait a minute. You had him on your backside? What? What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Even my dog Benji, who's trying to get on my good side, if he saw a man do that to me, he'd say, I don't want you as my owner. I mean, please. So, yeah, I mean, what a...
Yeah. So that's what he has, this flair for dramatic, but a lot of times it backfires on him, you know. So he, but he does that a lot.
Yeah. Well, again, Jim Jones used to do that to people. Not exactly mm-hmm. that, but you know, Jim Jones would put him on the spot, and I would never do that. I would never do that to anyone. Never.
And especially not expecting to get clocked in the face. You know?
Sure.
I mean, the spitting is that the people, I've seen people go off if somebody spits on them, especially if it's deliberate. I mean, you just lose it.
Absolutely.
And I'm not advocating violence or anything like that, but it's because it's just so degrading to do that to a person.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And listen, that guy knew what was coming.
You think so?
Absolutely. Because before, when he tapped him on...
Because he was too cool.
And not only that, but he had already touched him a certain way and he gave him his back, so they had already done the little routine. They had already rehearsed mm-hmm. it. And for him to allow him to do that, and I mean, and the gook was coming down his face. I mean, it was hanging.
It was horrible. And maybe the guy didn't think, he thought he was just going to simulate spitting but not actually do it. But, man, he did what they call hock the loogie, a loogie.
I mean, those were two Coney Island clams in his hands.
It sure was. Ew.
So... No. That's, that is so, and this guy is apologizing with a smile. I mean, what kind of an apology is that?
It doesn't sound like much of an apology, especially if he's making jokes about it. I would never go back to that church. I'd be so humiliated.
Absolutely. But that's what happens. They keep, listen, and that's what he does in public. Can you imagine what he does behind closed doors?
Yeah, I don't really want to know, but yeah, you're right.
Who knows what
kind of stuff he does and says when he's just hanging out with the guys or something.
Listen, this guy is he's dangerous. And that was just a little sample. See, and this is what happens with these guys. Remember we talked about how Bishop Carlton Pearson was so delusional into thinking that he was the cat's meow, that he thought that when he was going to tell people that there was no hell, he was going to be applauded.
Yeah,
they get to such a delusional point where they think they're all that.
Mm-hmm.
Until social media hits back, and then they realize, wow, I'm not all that.
Right, and Carlton is part of his spiritual heritage.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, we got this tape here, this
last
one.
Well, the next video is a clip. Because of it's a controversial remark that he made concerning Jesus didn't really live up to his potential that he makes, and it's a sermon that he did, like they did some tag team stuff at Rich Wilkerson Jr.'s church in Miami, VU Church, and so Michael is the last person to go here. So in this sermon, because I wanted to get context. Because there are short clips out there, but I wanted to see, I didn't understand the context. So That is the next audio. We can start listening to that. About 15 or 20 minutes. I don't know. And let me find the clip here so I can. Oh, okay. Here it is. Run it forward to 33:53 is where Michael starts his part.
Okay. All right, here it is.
They only gave me about 15 minutes. But when I think about the journey of Jesus, he went at a pace that was not popular. And in Western culture right now, the pace that everybody's supposed to be on is hustle, grind, make it happen, wake up and eat. It's like this whole thing is, I'm going to do it because I don't trust God will. So I got a network when I come to VU conference, and I'm not listening to the message, but I'm trying to find out who I need to position myself next to, because maybe if I get close enough to the right people, I can get in the room that'll allow them to hear that I have a gift and a calling on my life. And maybe if they hear if I have a gift and a calling on my life, maybe I'll get on a platform that one day the person that really needs to see me will see me. And God says, you did all of that. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper you and not harm you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. And I found this being one of the biggest dilemmas of my life. It's that I had bought into Western culture's idea of success and not God's plan for my life. And so when it came to finding out a pace, I only knew one pace. Pedal to the metal. Everything that I could do, I was going to make it happen for myself. If you give me an inch, I'm going to rip a door down. If you give me somebody's number, I'm going to call until they recognize who I am. And this whole thing has allowed a generation to raise up of people who will position themselves before they allow God to position them. And I know this is not popular, but either we believe the word or we don't, that promotion actually comes from the Lord. And so when I look at Jesus, though, Rich, he's in the worst moment of his life. The only way he got to the worst moment that would become the best moment for all of us when he takes the cross and he pays the final payment is that he had to go at a pace that he was graced for. And what I had to come to the conclusion of is that, Michael, you can no longer go at the pace of your skill, the pace of your personality. You have to go at the pace of grace. See, a lot of people are striving to get to a place that God said, if you would just allow me to do it and do your part in the meantime, I'll take you to places nobody could ever fathom you would be. I'll use you in ways that nobody thought you could ever be used. And I know some of y'all are sitting here like, that's good for you to say, Pastor Mike. You're on the platform right now in a light purple jacket, the same color as Rich's pants, and the stage is glowing.
See, this is all a me sermon.
Yes,
That's what this is all about. What the thing is, God's going to take me to a place where I never thought I could. Wait a minute, we're talking about Jesus. It's not about me going to any place.
Yes, he narcegeets a lot, as they call it, inserting himself into these scriptures and these as examples and everything. Yeah.
I mean, who cares where he goes? I want to know about Jesus.
Right.
This is,
maybe he's telling on himself. Maybe that's how he got next to Gary McIntosh.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I doubt very much that he was just pushing buttons. That he was just.
Me too.
I doubt very much that he was cleaning mics. I doubt that. I doubt it.
But what you don't know is that 24 months ago, I sat in conferences like this all over the world. In that section up there. All the people in the balcony make some noise. Everybody in the balcony. The first shall be last. No. I used to sit in places like that. And I didn't know nobody. I sat in conferences that Chad was at, that Rich was at, that Carl was at, that Judah was at, that Don Cherie was at. I sat and I jumped when Social Club was going ham. Oh, you can't say that in church, huh? Okay. You see, I'm not finished yet. I'm not done, but I'm willing. I'm willing to go at a pace where I didn't elevate myself, but God elevated me. And I remember having to make a decision, because Jesus had to make decisions to not do what everybody wanted him to do because he could, but go at the pace that God called him to go at. Do you remember he was 12 years old and he was feeling himself? And there was something in him like, yo, I'm the son of God on earth. And I'm 12, and I'm about to hit puberty, and this is about to be amazing. And he goes to the synagogues, and he's schooling everybody at 12, saying like, yo, this is what this means, and this is what, no, y'all got that wrong. I know what this means. And he's doing this, but he forgot one thing. He didn't tell his mama Mary. And I have to imagine Mary was a black mother. Because she was cleaning up the house. And I don't know, this may be my only experience because my mama's a black mother. And she was like, Jesus, where that boy at? Jesus! Jesus! And she starts looking for him. And she finds him. There he is. And she probably had a superpower like my mama had. She could say a full sentence without even breaking her teeth. She said, Jesus. And he was like, Ma, what are you talking about? Hold on, y'all. Give me one second.
We're stopping it at the 40-minute mark. We're out of time. But as
okay.
You can see, this guy is playing the fool. He's good at it.
Yes, he is.
This is
Church du Soleil, and he's a clown in the show.
That's it. This guy is a narcissist, and... that's all he's going to produce, narcissistic people.
Mm-hmm.
The devil just loves to pump people with pride. They're all
he
full
does,
of pride.
Because that was his sin. He was lifted up in pride. So, of course,
yep.
It's going to manifest itself in people that he uses.
Absolutely. So, remember, we stopped it at the 40-minute mark. Yeah, those other two yuppies that are there with him, I never heard of them either.
Rich Wilkerson hosted Kanye at his church when Kanye was doing his little thing a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah, never. All of these up and coming preachers, I don't know anything about.
Right.
But sad crowd, sad. And the place is packed.
Mm-hmm.
The place is packed.
Yes,
so.
It is.
Yep. All right, my sister, great show. You have the last word.
Well, as always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.